This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. Community Update this week looks at a series of stories from the past week. The Democratic majority in the House of Representatives is pursuing an impeachment inquiry against President Trump. On WSBT 22's First in the Morning on Wednesday, St. Mary's College political scientist Sean Savage talked about the political implications of impeachment.
A whistleblower report shows the president may have pressured Ukraine to investigate political rival and the current Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden and Biden's son. And now to the political side.
St. Mary's College political science professor Sean Savage joins us this morning. Good morning. Thank you for coming here. We're hearing that upwards of two-thirds of Democrats in the House favor impeachment. Do you think this means impeachment is a foregone conclusion?
I wouldn't go quite that far. I'd say it's a foregone conclusion. Even before Nancy Pelosi called for the formal inquiry by the House of Representatives, about 178 Democrats in the House are already on record as saying they supported impeachment. Of course, it takes a simple majority in the House of Representatives to impeach. So that means that, you know, about another 24-25 Democrats or so would have to support impeachment. And of course, we have some Democrats who are elected or reelected from these purple districts or even red districts. And then the question is, well, if this process goes on long enough, could their seats be at jeopardy in the 2020 House elections?
We'll talk about that portion of it in a second, but I wanted to ask you about the next step. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that the impeachment mm-hmm. does happen and mm-hmm. it gets the stamp of approval mm-hmm. from the House, goes to the Republican-controlled mm-hmm. Senate. Is there any chance at all of a conviction in the Senate?
No, that's my short answer. Because once it gets into the Senate, there needs to be a majority of at least two-thirds to convict. We may recall that with Bill Clinton, when there was a Democratic president and then a Republican Senate, it was only a simple majority that voted to convict Clinton on at least one article of impeachment. And the result, of course, was that Clinton was acquitted.
Now, this looks like a big roll of dice for the Democrats. The White House mm-hmm. already saying they're putting politics over policy mm-hmm. for Election Day. Mm-hmm. Who comes out the big loser if this attempt fails, if the impeachment doesn't happen?
I think it'll be the Democrats, because I think that the Republicans will be able to use this issue, as they did, for example, the controversy with Brett Kavanaugh, to try to energize the base. And I think that this could put at jeopardy some of these newly elected moderate Democrats from purple and red districts. I think the House Democrats could very well be the losers here.
So what happens if the president releases the transcripts mm-hmm. today, which he says he will, mm-hmm. and there's really no smoking gun mm-hmm. in that? Do the Democrats back off and say, all right, if this was our linchpin, this was the key moment mm-hmm. that it gets us to impeachment, or do they continue down the same road? And what's the risk of doing so if there's no smoking gun today in that report?
Well, I think what's happening in American politics, not just on the impeachment of Donald Trump issue, but on other issues, is that it increasingly has to do with energizing the base. It's really the most anti-Trump, liberal base of the Democratic Party that wants Trump impeached. Frankly, they want him impeached for something. If it's not going to be over the Ukraine, then in the past it was over whether or not there was collusion with Russia during the 2016 election. And other people brought up the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution that basically says the president is not supposed to use his office to benefit himself financially. And of course, we had the controversy of Mike Pence being over in Ireland and using some Trump property to stay there. So I think that at least some Democrats are going to always be looking for some reason to impeach Donald Trump.
Let's talk about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Is she the best hope for President Trump, since she so far has been careful mm-hmm. with this process, mm-hmm. that unless it's a slam dunk, she could kill the process before it reaches full impeachment?
I think so. She has been very cautious on this. I think she's really been pushed and prodded on this by people like AOC and the rest of the so-called squad there, as well as Jerry Nadler, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. So ironically, she could very well eventually stop the complete impeachment process.
It is rather ironic, isn't it? The person who makes the announcement that they're moving forward with mm-hmm. this, who really didn't want it to begin mm-hmm. with, is the one who could put the brakes on the whole thing.
Exactly.
All right. Sean Savage, thanks very much. We appreciate your time. St. Mary's okay. College professor.
That from WSBT 22's First in the Morning on Wednesday. South Bend Schools is searching for new leaders to help solve long-running problems. The Transportation and Food Services directors both resigned last Monday. Superintendent Todd Cummings says it was time to make changes.
Parents have been frustrated with busing issues for years. Todd Cummings says during the first few weeks of school, it's understandable to have some mix-ups. A month into the school year, he says, issues should have been resolved, and that's why changes are being made.
Buses have been a concern for South Bend parents for years. Superintendent Cummings says he's been listening since taking over.
Because technology should run right. We should be able to get students to school on time.
The food problem, he says, started well before the shortage earlier this month.
They wanted food options. They wanted the decent stuff they were eating not to run out. And they wanted options for food after school.
Chartwell started the transition last week, and Cummings says he's excited for what they will bring.
Great, healthy, ample options, great breakfast, and then takeaway options for athletes and students who need food at the end of the day.
Chief Operating Officer Renee Sanchez will take over transportation until a new director is found. Cummings says transportation problems have gone on for too long.
Kids get to school late. They don't learn to read. It impacts their academics. We have to get this right. If I can order a Lyft in South Bend and know where my car is, parents should be able to know where their bus is.
Yay. It's about time.
Crystal Hamill has been waiting for a change. Her granddaughter goes to Coquillard Elementary.
The bus is late. You don't know if she's missed the bus or if it's late or if somebody's taken her from school.
She doesn't rely on the bus anymore.
And I usually take her and the other kids at the bus stop. I usually take them to school usually. If the bus doesn't come like within a half hour, 45 minutes.
And it's not just her granddaughter.
We had one little boy last year, a couple times he walked to school. I live by Olive and Lincoln Way, and he walked all the way to Coquillard. So I stopped that quick and told him, if he needs a ride, come tell me.
Cummings wants to prove these steps will lead to changes.
I'm trying to make sure I get it right for students and families. At the end of the day, my superintendency legacy, I want to be that he did what was right for students.
Cummings says the corporation will hold public forums to hear from parents on who they want to see become the next transportation director. He says dates should be released within the coming weeks.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. As the city of Mishawaka moves closer to purchasing the Liberty Mutual Insurance Building downtown, planners are already thinking about what to do with the current City Hall, Police Department, and Utilities Building. City leaders say those offices would be moved into the Liberty Mutual Building, likely during the year 2020.
There are no concrete plans yet because the city and Liberty Mutual have not yet signed a purchase agreement. That's expected to happen in the next couple weeks. After that happens, they're going to have real estate experts walk through some of these city properties to assess them.
The views from the Mishawaka Police Department are likely worth some money.
Clearly, yeah. Just having the water access and the amenities in close proximity make it the most valuable.
That's why the city of Mishawaka is carefully looking at what to do with the building if the police department staff were to move out.
So it has waterfront views, but not waterfront ownership.
If all goes as planned, the Liberty Mutual building will be renovated. The Mishawaka Police Department, Mishawaka Utilities, and City Hall offices would move in. City Planner Ken Prince has been trying to come up with a plan. He says because the police department was built with solid jail cells and deep evidence rooms, it would be difficult to renovate. Prince says the land is likely worth more with nothing on it.
And probably a teardown because, again, if you think of the possibility of doing lower-level commercial and condos or apartments or the like, the property has a much more value that way than it does as a police station.
Prince says the utilities building is also likely a teardown. It was built in the 50s, has major deficiencies, and no elevator. The City Hall building has a brighter future, likely to be turned into apartments or condos. This is similar to other former schools in the city like Battelle and Mary Phillips.
We have a history of converting those into residences. We may look to do that, or we may look to partner with another government organization if they have an interest in the building.
The city plans to have a real estate expert assess the facilities after the purchase agreement is signed with Liberty Mutual. Until then,
they are still up in the air, very much up in the air.
Now, the police department, Prince tells me it would take millions of dollars to renovate it. The heating and cooling is at the end of its life, so is the roof. But river access view, Prince tells me that other appraisals for vacant land down here run about $300,000 an acre.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting from downtown Mishawaka. The South Bend Common Council passed a new synthetic drug ordinance Monday night. It increases penalties for anyone selling synthetic drugs, including things like spice or K2. Synthetic drugs were in a legal gray area at one point. Here's South Bend Council President Tim Scott.
It's pure poison. I mean, some of the stuff, it has rat poison in it. It has God knows what kind of chemicals within it. Antifreeze, we found all different types of substances within this, and no one really knows how it's going to react. It's not going to react the same way that a natural marijuana would react or other drugs that are known out there.
The new ordinance increases the charge from a misdemeanor to a felony. That complies with state law. The measure is now on the mayor's desk. The RV industry took a major step in streamlining the repair process this past week, cutting the ribbon on the RV Technical Institute in Elkhart. This is a first of its kind for an industry that's been struggling to find repair technicians in recent years.
The industry has been struggling to find repair technicians in recent years. This new institute is developing a curriculum that will be used across the entire industry to train repair technicians.
With the cut of the ribbon, the brand new RV Technical Institute is officially open for business.
This is a big deal for our company and really for the industry to have more trained technicians.
The new institute's goal will be to train repair technicians to work on RVs. Three trade groups representing nearly the entire RV industry came up with the idea after seeing the lack of technicians and long wait times for repairs.
It could be, on average, 21 days till you get that back, and that's just not acceptable.
Kurt Hemmler is the Institute's executive director. He says currently, repair technicians have no standardized certifications, and the industry is having trouble finding them. The new institute will recruit everyone from high school students to veterans to come and train to work on RVs.
There'll be much more available technicians to fix units quicker. At the dealer level, there'll be more service centers, I believe, with more staff, trained technicians to do the job, do it well, and do it quickly.
The facility has taken the place of the old Indiana Tech building. It boasts 18,000 square feet, which includes seven classrooms and a large garage bay for practice RV repairs. The curriculum will initially focus on repairs to the inside of the vehicles.
The majority of RVs out there are towables, and so we're starting with that, tackling that piece first. We will probably eventually move into engines as well.
The facility is already in the process of training technicians for Camping World dealers and says this is an example of the industry coming together.
We're putting aside competition in the name of producing a product, a trained technician that can go out there and fix units right the first time and make the consumer happier.
And the Institute is still in the process of developing that standardized curriculum. They say it should be finished later this fall, and they'll be able to take in students after that.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. As fall comes in, some people's allergy symptoms improve, others get worse, and some just change from one type of problem to another. Here's WSBT 22 First in the Morning's look at the problem, consulting with allergist Dr. Christina Barnes.
Many of you know the symptoms all too well. Itchy, watery eyes, and a runny nose. Allergy season is once again in full swing. WSBT 22's Bree Isom spoke to an allergist about this, and she joins us now in Mishawaka. Bree, so what's causing all of these issues?
You probably remember in the spring and the early summer months, we had that pollen season, but now it's all about ragweed season. So that's what's causing majority of the problems this fall so far. So right now there are also high levels of mold across the area. Ragweed and mold usually make people miserable every fall, but doctors say allergies have been way worse this year. And that's because of all the temperature changes. And if you think you've been dealing with your allergies more often, you're right.
In general, the allergy season in this country and in a lot of countries is actually longer than it used to be. So there are higher pollen levels and there are longer seasons, and that's related to climate change.
And so doctors are also saying that if you're dealing with those allergies in a bad way, you can use some over-the-counter prescriptions like Allegra or Zyrtec or Claritin.
But Bree, doctors also say there are things you can do besides taking medicine to help with those symptoms.
You can. So if you have your windows open, make sure to shut those overnight because that's actually going to make your allergies worse. Make sure to turn on that air conditioning if it is warm outside, because just leaving those doors and windows open can really bring all of those allergens into your house.
WSBT 22's Bree Isom and Leanne Tokars reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.